Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome pitch for a radical movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I love the smell of screenplay in the morning.
Oh, we're mixing up the whole intro. I'm Matt Arnold.
What do you think?
We're mixing up.
So I'm Matt Arnold, and I am my kid's mom. Dr. Laura, anybody? Any Dr. Yeah. Laura fans?
Yeah.
We should do Dr. Laura on Story Break sometime.
Yeah, cool.
And I don't think we can do real people that still
real
exist.
Real people radio that, yeah, sure. Everyone's so huge into that. This week, we promised last week that we were going to do something serious. And like, no more, I think as we said before, we recording today. No more teens, no more aliens, no more saving moms. Like, we're going into the real shit.
I have bad news for you, Freddie. Because today we're doing the story of Contra, which does feature an alien invasion.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, I just noticed
that. We can't beat the aliens. It's nothing. What is with our obsession with aliens?
We're going to do a war film, boys. A real-ass war movie called Contra.
Which was originally a Nintendo game, right?
No, it was for the M2X originally, I believe.
There was a version of Metal Gear that came on the M2X that was excellent, by the way.
The original Contra. So for those of you guys who don't know, Contra is a series of video games created by the Konami Corporation, which features basically a ripoff of Arnold Schwarzenegger and a ripoff of Sylvester Stallone fighting aliens in the jungle and a ripoff of Predator. So they basically took Predator and turned it into a video game, and now we're taking that video game and turning it into a movie.
Reflections of reflections. That's
we
where
are
we
through
are
the
here.
Looking glass here, people. The series debuted in 1987 as a coin-op arcade game simply titled Contra. It was followed by the release of Super Contra, and then it's just kind of gone from there. I feel like
Super Duper Contra, Ultra Super Duper Contra, Super Duper Contra Turbo, all the classics.
What happened to that naming convention in video games, I want to know? Because that was my favorite, when it would be like Super and then Ultra Turbo.
Yeah,
I want
them to come out with like Mass Effect, Super Mass Effect, Mass Effect Ultra.
Where's Assassin's Creed Turbo? Do you know what I mean?
Hey, I'd play that. Gosh, have you played Super Mario? Oh no, see, Super Mario kept it up.
Yeah,
right. Mario.
They kind of peaked at Super.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, now they have. Odyssey.
They don't have Ultra Mario. I would play Ultra
Holy
Mario.
Shit! If Ultra Mario came out, you know that's a day.
Well, then
one
they went
pre-order.
To New, and then there was like New Super Mario Brothers, and there was New Super Mario Brothers Luigi. It's like, what? Okay. Sure. So,
all right.
Are we going to start the clock?
Yeah. Well, you guys have done a little bit of Wikipedia reading on it. And if you're ready to rock, then so am I. And the clock begins now.
Can I just really quickly read? Here's the entire plot as said by Wikipedia.
Go for it.
Okay. This is what we're working with. In 2633, the evil Red Falcon organization has set a base on the Galuga archipelago near New Zealand. Man, that's a lot of words I couldn't say. In a plot to conquer the world, two commandos, Private Bill Reiser and Private Lance Bean of the Contra unit. So, an elite group of soldiers specializing in guerrilla warfare are sent to the island to destroy the enemy forces and uncover the true nature of the alien entity controlling them.
And what is the true nature of the
alien? I don't know. That's the entire
It's run
plot.
By aliens, I believe.
So, it looks like there's just like an organization sets up a base.
Outside of New Zealand.
Off an island on the coast of Costa Rica.
And then the army sends in two people.
Seems like a half-baked plan, army.
Well, it's super secret Black Ops stuff.
Yeah, it's Black Ops stuff.
They're from their... Yeah, I mean, plus, when you've got a guy who can shoot a gun that fires 12 bullets at once in 17 different directions, how many dudes do you need?
Have you guys played Contra?
Let's talk a little... Yeah, okay, so let's start with... So, yeah, again, we're dealing with a pretty threadbare plot, it looks like. And I was kind of nervous going in that it was going to be like, oh, you're going to have to go to the Contra wiki, and there's like... I mean, they've done a lot of Contra video games. Like, there's a zillion here.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're more or less the same plot every time. It's let's see, what's the plot of Super Contra? The plot of Super, a year after the battle with the Red Falcon organization, Bill and Lance are sent on another mission. This time the alien forces have taken over an allied military base possessing most of its troops. Bill and Lance must not only fight their way through their former comrades in arms, ooh, good sequel, but also a new mutated form of the same alien. So it's like, okay, aliens take over a military
base. These two guys can't catch a break.
And then they got to send in our best boys, Bill and Lance, to take out the bad alien men.
I tried playing Contra on the NES like a few times. It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't age very well to me. It's just kind of hard. But I did play Contra 4 on the DS, and I freaking dug that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the same as Contra. It's just, you know, it's just more modern. It's
so
easier
it's
to
a
play.
It's a side-scrolling video game. Like, this is the
Mega Man.
This
I mean,
is, I think, you know, the way that Call of Duty is, like, of the modern day, like, if you're going to see a kid playing a video game in a cop show in 2017, it's going to be Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I feel like in a TV show in 1990 to 1999, yeah. if a kid was playing a video game, it was like Contra. It was a burly dude walking sideways, shooting big fireballs out of a gun at aliens. Like, that's the in a jungle.
Contra is like Mega Man for guys who got laid in high school. sorry,
Mega Man's like, I got this robot dog that I can jump on. Contra's like, my gun shoots homing missiles.
My gun shoots other guns.
But it's similar. Like, rather, like, if the, I mean, for those who don't, it's just really simply, it's like, if you know Mega Man, it's that, but it's, you know, it's level to level rather than, like, choosing nine of the people. And it is, you know, it's the same thing. It's moving forward, left and right, side-scrolling, platforming, and you get a bunch of different
two
weapons.
Things that I think are interesting as far as piece of history that I think that you would be remiss to not include in any sort of filmic adaptations. One, this is Contra is the origin, I believe, of the famous, infamous Konami code, right?
Oh,
the,
up, the, up, down, up, down, down, left, right, select, start.
Nice, nerd cred.
AB, I fucked it up.
Oh, shit. We both lost nerd cred because I gave him nerd cred for
you guys,
being wrong.
Give me your nerd cards.
Okay, here
just
you
punch
go.
It. Just... Okay, yours,
we're so confident
Sorry,
with this movie, by the way, that we're just
well.
Dicking around for the first 8 minutes of this thing.
Okay, all right. So
that there's a Konami code, but also that it was a relentlessly unforgiving game, right? It's a game where
if you get
hit once, you die, right? And you lose a life. There's no health bar. So it's like it's a difficult shooter game and the Konami code.
Yeah, so I was just trying – so to kind of get into, like, what I remember of playing the game, because I think we'll often ask, like, what does it feel like to play
Contra?
What's
the emotion of Contra?
Like, Contra is – it is, you are just a buff dude, and it is very hard. It is very, I think 1980s action movies clearly what it is. But it is, you know, you're rocking ass with by yourself destroying a bunch of an endless swarm of aliens and other macho dudes. And you go from left to right to literally you, like, I think in Contra 4, like, at one point I was, like, hanging onto a nuclear missile as I was flying through the air, like, shooting aliens to stop it from, like, crashing into the earth.
Well,
like, it's very big.
I would say one thing, which is that to me, Contra is always about these two beautiful boys. Like this, there's two dudes back to back.
Yes.
It's prominently two people, and I do feel like this is like a. It to me, like, again, like, we were thinking about this, but, like, literally my first thought was, like, I'm like, can we just make the dudes boyfriends and then just have it be, like, this, like, I don't know, like, this, like, love, Brokeback Mountain meets Predator type thing going on. Whether you do it as a literal romance or just an emotional storyline.
Or a bromance.
I hate the word. Can we strike the word bromance just from the record? Just
yeah, okay.
from nuke it from orbit.
I just call it a manse.
A manse.
And then if it's with a woman, it's a womance.
A womance.
so it just sounds like you have a lisp.
Yeah.
Womance.
Yeah, so it is the story of – so I pulled up Bill Reiser.
Which one is Bill and which one is Lance
Bill
Bean?
Bill is Arnold.
Okay.
And Lance is Stallone.
Okay.
According to the biography, the Red Falcon Crisis, he fought – the biography is just – every story is just he fought alongside Lance.
These guys are inseparable.
Oh, there is a Contra wiki.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, it seems like pretty much – I'm looking through these stories, and it is just always – it's just the Red Falcon organization just, you know – is fighting again. I mean, there's not much to it. So essentially, to try to take it literally what you see in the game, here are the things that stand out to me. That's for some reason, they just bring two guys to do this.
That's it, yeah.
That's it. So yes, it does feel like it is like secretive. It is like the bad guys like are somebody that the government can't, like we can't know that we're going into it or something. And I do really like that this takes place in 2600.
Yeah,
these guys are like with bandanas and tank tops.
it's like drones maybe. Oh, you know what's interesting? You know what? Drones, right? Because normally there's these flying things that you shoot and that's how you get your weapon power-ups. Maybe they do have backup, but it has to be remote. So it's like military drones that they shoot down to bring them like supplies and stuff.
I do want to point out that at one point, Lance Bean, apparently in the game Contra Rebirth, and I'm going to show you guys this picture, does dress up as a cabaret singer to go undercover. And he's got like a top hat and lipstick and a fluffy sash on.
Wait, what?
And what game was that?
Contra Rebirth. All right, we're gonna dive in here.
Seems like it's got to be about these two characters as the core, right? Like, it feels like that's the, that's the relationship.
This game's bonkers. I'm just watching. It's just this shirtless dude that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger just running through this Mega Man level with, like, spike walls and aliens. I mean, this is bonkers.
All right, I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hose here. I just clicked through, and now I'm on the article for the Galactic President, who is, I guess, the president of the galaxy. And by the way, is also going to be the person sending them on the mission. His image is inspired by Che Guevara. It looks like Che Guevara. Also, by the way, Lance Bean is an amalgam of Lance Henriksen and Michael Bean, and then Bill Reiser is an amalgam of Bill Paxton and Paul Reiser. Okay. If you were wondering, so it's also aliens, basically, is what the thing is riffing
okay,
on.
So I can see this a little bit like old, like
this is basically like it feels like a Stranger Things 80s macho. I don't know, like,
well, it's Expendables is probably the closest we've
got. Why do these guys look like this in 2633?
Maybe the reason why hear me out. Maybe the only reason why it's only these two men being sent is because as time has gone on, right, we've done more drones, we've done more remote pilot warfare. The army's actually just full of a bunch of scrawny, nerdy, like, gamer types who don't work out, who spend all day flying drones remotely from a bunker in the middle of the desert. And nobody's, like, there's no PT requirements. Nobody's physically fit anymore. The army's been withered away because we had let the robots do the fighting for us. Except for these two who have spent their time creatining up and powerlifting. And now when the time has come when you need raw American muscle, they're the only two people in the entire military apparatus who can do it.
What if you do that the Contra boys are from the 1980s?
Holy shit.
And then they
shit.
Get sucked through to the future to fight a future war.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. And what I was thinking is that it's in the future, and this is so far in the future. It's they have it reminds me of this Doctor Who episode where there's this like dystopian world, and of course they have identities of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean they have identities?
Like Face Off Prison, they can track where everybody is. They know exactly because they all have ID chips in them and everything. So anyway, so what I was gonna say is like, so if you do, I don't know, I was trying to get to like. They're like, nobody on this planet can get into this facility. And like, then we need to get somebody not from this world. Like somebody that doesn't have ID chips, somebody that's not part of this planet. So they get people from the past.
Oh, so like untrackable individuals.
Untrackable individuals. They're off the grid.
Pure muscle men of the day.
Okay. I'm into that.
Because I kind of like that they're called, like they're brought here rather than they just show up here and they're like, oh, now we need, it's like they need to be brought here and be like, we need you two to do something. I'm like, what the hell is this future world I'm in? And like, know what? Just give us a weapon. We'll figure out how to shoot this thing. It shoots lasers now. That's fine. As long as there's a trigger to pull, I know what's up. You know,
this trigger fingers have worked this thing out. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because then what you get is you get these two macho dudes that are like kind of like, imagine them in the world of, man, what's even the name of that movie now? It's Edge of Tomorrow that's been changed so many times.
Live,
Tomorrow.
Die, Repeat.
Yeah, Live, Die, Repeat.
I believe it's now called Live, Die, Repeat, Cruise, Blunt, Edge of Tomorrow.
But it's like, again, there'd be this hot shot, like, you know, mech fighting, brilliant, all these, like, to the opposite of your point, Freddie, I'd almost be like, these guys are all brilliant scientists and physically fit, like, drone pilot, macho dudes who are just, like, impeccable human beings. And like, why do we have these dumb jock dipshits from the 80s coming in to do this? Like, we should be able to handle it. You gotta trust us. And like, nah, son, you don't understand. Like, nobody can get into this fortress
in my head,
for somebody.
By the way, in my head, there's totally a scene where they're all like working out and they're all like doing these like almost like Rocky IV-esque, like Ivan Drago style like exercises, and the guy comes like, hey, where can I play this? And he has like an 8-track of Slayer or something, or like Def Leppard, and then he puts it on, and then they're just working, but they're working, it's like the Rocky IV montage.
And they're like, oh god, that guy listens to classical music. He did that joke, and they roll their eyes
and as they just start pumping iron to like, she's my cherry pie.
Okay, I see where you guys are going, and I'm gonna play along.
We're flexing over here, Will.
So I'm trying to like, I'm like, but what is the heart of this thing?
Yeah,
is this okay? I'm still a little iffy on why they need these 80s dudes.
Same,
like, we can't get people into this planet. Seems like an odd. an odd thing.
The planet is surrounded. Just bear with me, because it's you can do any sort. I mean, this is 2633. I mean, I'm looking at shit that blows my mind right now.
Yeah, that's the difference between now and the 1400s. Like, it's like Columbus just sailed.
It's like this planet has a shield around it that literally vaporizes the moment it detects somebody. It can detect anything of this time, and they can just walk through.
What if there's a virus that, you know, like how like a sneeze from the modern day would kill a dinosaur, but there's got to be like the opposite too, where like a dinosaur wouldn't like there's viruses that are very specifically adapted to our genome or whatever. So you do the bad guys like there's like a they're like this planet or whatever has been hit with this genetic virus right that and it's infected the air or whatever, and like anyone who walks into it is dead in 10 minutes, so they need heroes from the past.
I like that.
Who
like,
are like dinosaurs. They are literally like dinosaurs in there. Do you know what I mean?
Because these monster guys walk in and they look at all the other soldiers like, sorry boys, I heard you guys couldn't handle a little common cold, so looks like we gotta take care of this shit. And they're all cocky about it. This guy's like, god damn. Okay, so sure, this planet is these aliens have brought a disease from the past that is.
Well, no, that's how they conquer. These aliens come in, they figure out, and they figure out the thing that will kill the genetic code of whatever's on there right now. So they deploy that. But little do they know that the genetic code right now is not the same as from.
Well, I feel
our
like
time.
It's almost like a side effect where it's like this: the Red Falcon organization has this island, and they're building up something, and nobody knows what it is. They've sent drones overhead to take satellite pictures. The pictures come back blurry. They know something's going on, and all the governments are trying to figure out how to stop it. They can't shoot it with nuclear missiles because they have anti-missile weapons, et cetera, et cetera. And whenever they've sent their elite team there, they've died because of this disease. It took them a long time to figure out how these guys were even dying, and then they finally got one, and there's this disease there. And they did a bunch of research, and they're like, oh shit, this is a disease from 1980s where, you know, emergency, this thing called airborne essentially stopped it. And we need somebody from the 1980s who can survive it. I just make it like,
okay. You don't have to get that complicated. But it's just they can look back in time. They're like, look, people from this time period
had an immunity to the disease. We need this time period's bravest warriors to come save the day.
Oh, you know what you could do? A small point, but like if you wanted to make it like the game, you do it so it's like they're only immune if it's not coming in through like their blood. It's like if they get shot once, they'll die instantly.
I feel like these guys get shot a lot in this movie.
Okay.
Okay. So that's your teaser. And now you are cutting out, as you said, to the heart of it. Cut to.
Well, okay. Yeah. I have a couple of thoughts about it. Look, my initial resistance is. It's like the idea of just a movie about two smug assholes just being better than everyone sounds really fucking boring.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to like. I don't just like, hey, we're from the 80s and we're cool. Ugh. And it's like and again, this is like, again, like why my mind went to like, do we do like a gay thing with this? I just need something to subvert the macho toxic masculinity shit. Like we're recording this on the day that the Me Too movement won Time's People of the Year. I'm not going to do a movie that's just all about how men were so much better in the 1980s. I'll fucking kill myself.
Sure, sure, I agree, and we've done a lot, but you can also do an action movie about dudes.
I'm not saying to not do an action movie about dudes, but that's just what I'm trying to find. Like, I need to find.
You cut to the 80s. Who are these characters? Everything else has been joking. Will, what is we are now? We've set up this thing where they don't need them because they're better or macho. They need them because they can survive.
Okay,
this disease.
I'm going to throw you a very pretentious idea right now. I feel like masculine culture in America is going through this identity crisis right now. And it's like, how do we resolve like our love of our movie heroes from the 80s and 90s who did some pretty rapey shit in their movies and who fucking, but we were told our whole lives to look up to, right? Like, and it's like who were like these weird, conflicted, macho, sexist dudes, but are still kind of lionized and celebrated in the culture. And then we have like sort of modern masculinity. Like, here would be my thought, is one of them from the future, one of them is from the past, and they have to work together on this mission.
I mean, what would be a good version of, like, an Arnold Schwarzenegger character? Like, just because they're strong and good at military doesn't mean they are.
Okay, well,
so then what would that character be, right?
The best movie I have seen recently that was both macho and pretty woke, in my opinion, was Magic Mike 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you told me you were going to do Magic Mike 2 meets Aliens, I would be fucking on board, because the bros in that movie are ripped and they are buff, but they are nurturing and sensitive to each other. They are, you know, like they have like, you know, like real relationships with women, like they like, but they still like have, they're still macho, dumb hunks and like the fun in that fun kind of masculine way. Like, I don't know, like the I don't know. I'm just trying to put a finger
on
this.
I guess, to me, I agree with all that. That feels like the flavor as opposed to the story, right?
Sure.
Now.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think of like what. Because, look, I mean, one, we can also, I mean, I have no problem, we could also, to end this Contra, like, there's no reason why you can't have it be a macho dude and a macho woman either. Or, like, the future side being, you know, they could be teamed up with somebody. Like, okay. There's a number of things you could do.
Here would be my first thought, as I think you would, at the very least, I want to see an arc in this. Again, to me. It's like, I'm like, I see those two guys back to back, and it's like Stallone, it's like a Tango and Cash, like, yeah, or something right? So, like, maybe you do that both of these guys work for different mercenary companies in the 80s, right? And they are both on different sides of some Banana Republic coup, you know, like some covert mission in the jungle in the 1980s, and they're in the middle of this macho shirtless knife fight about to kill each other when they get zapped to the future. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we need your help.
It's like a Russian and an American.
Yeah, it's like an enemy mine type thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, or they're both American, but again, they're both just fucking, they both work for
different. I would do them on different sides. I like that idea of it's like you have two enemies like fighting each other, and all of a sudden they appear in the future. And, well, one, you get that fun of like, well, who won our war?
Yeah.
And it's like, who gives a shit? We're all in the Galactic Empire now, and it's 2633. Everything mm-hmm. you've done was meaningless in your life. Now you need
and
to fight
you
aliens.
Do, and again, it's basically you do that these two, the reason they're able to yank them out of the timeline is these two idiots were about to just stab each other in the chest.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
kill each other.
It wasn't going to affect anything.
Yeah.
They were going to stab each other and fall off a cliff, and their bodies were never going to be found. So literally,
them they were like, these guys, you're the two people.
But why us? Why us, man?
Yeah.
Because you two literally have no bearing whatsoever on the course of history.
That's fun. I like two people that literally are told at the beginning, it's like you were literally unimportant.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what happened? Like, who won? It's like, nothing. There's kind of like a stalemate. And then, like, you know, geopolitics changed a lot. And actually, China came in. And
then aliens invaded the Earth.
And then aliens invaded the Earth. aliens invaded the Earth soon before.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fun. That's a fun way
That's
of
fun.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, it starts with this like rad knife fight. It just,
we need two heroes. We need two heroes in 1980s. That you cut to these two guys like fighting each other.
It's like spy versus spy type stuff where they're setting all these these elaborate traps for each other in the jungle, and they're like, you know, they've been hunting each other for weeks, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay.
So those are our two
Bill
boys,
and
Bill and Lance. Okay. Should we paint these guys out a little bit?
We should. They need a little bit. So
which one looks like Sylvester Stallone?
By the way, real quick, we got we're
Lance.
20 minutes in, 40 minutes remaining.
Okay.
Lance is Sylvester Stallone, Bill is Arnold.
Okay, there's Bill and Lance, two empty voids.
I mean, I guess they have, it's tough though, because it feels like it should be Russian and American.
Huh? A Russian and American.
I mean, if it's 80s, it's Cold War. It's like the end of the Cold War. It's like this is
no,
all
but
for
you
not-
could do. Bear with me. Mm-hmm. You could do a special. Oh no, dude! It's instead of Stallone, it's a fucking Latino. You said it in like a Banana Republic. Mm-hmm. Like again, like when they went to the Falcons and stuff like that. Like you do, it is in like a. Like the CIA
coup.
Is sending in mercenaries
to
overthrow. So you've got the CIA mercenaries, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, and then you have a rebel freedom fighter is the Stallone character, Senior Stallone.
So thinking about the two of them, because what I like about that, they were like essentially inconsequential and we're going to, their lives are going to be meaningless, is, again, I feel like that gets to kind of like even like a greater theme, like a meta theme beyond just like what their character stories are going to go through, which is like, again, you know, pretentious bullshit. Like war is meaningless, and like if right after this whole
I don't know if he should be
if one is clearly like the good guy and one's clearly the bad guy, it's like kind of
okay. But regardless, I feel like it's two people again for their sides are like, again, they're fighting this proxy war essentially, right? They don't give a shit about like the country that they're fighting in, and they're just mercenaries essentially. Let's start with.
Here would be my other, just to
keep going
on
really
quick. Because if you did that, there were mercenaries as opposed to like patriots, then I feel like they didn't have like, they wouldn't, like when they came to the future, it's like they wouldn't care. They wouldn't be like, who won the war? They wouldn't really, they'd be like, oh, cool. Okay. I guess we're in the future now. Like, you know, mercenary.
Yeah.
Like,
gun for hire.
Like, gun for
thing,
hire.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do? Like, again, I wonder if you can do something with like, these are two people who had these strong beliefs who are then thrown into this world where. They were going to have to redefine, like, again, if you were literally, like, fighting the Revolutionary War for the idea of liberty and freedom in the American Revolution, and you were a British officer fighting for that, and all of a sudden you were sent 700 years in the future and being like, hey, we're all a Galactic Empire, we're fighting aliens, you need to put your lives on the line, you'd be like, wait, so what, like, what government do you guys believe in? Like, why am I fighting anymore? Like, what's the point?
Yes, then I think, yeah, two rival countries that are at war with each other. The other thing I would say is, like, we could also set... because now you got me like, all right, if we're gonna fucking race bend, let's fucking like let's do a black guy and a Chinese dude and have it be Donnie Yen and fucking Carl Weathers beating the snot out of each other. I like it being, but again, like the classic U.S. versus Russia thing is pretty.
Well, it's a Cold War, and I think it's
it's the fitting idea of the property. Like, I think it's fair to be like that's Contra is is Cold War.
We're bringing the 80s back.
Yeah. Hey, we're guns for hire ourselves right now. It's like that's what it is.
Okay,
hey, you guys, what's not hip right now? The 80s.
Okay, so you got Stallone. Okay, all right. Okay, let's talk about the American guy.
Yeah,
the American
Bill.
Fucking kill me, guys. This is like okay.
Let's
all
go.
Right.
Just so we remember, it's the names are Bill American and Lance Russian.
Bill American and Lance Russian are okay. all right, so Bill American, and no, he's Carl Weathers in Predator, god damn it. All right.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
Carl.
It's Carl, picture Carl Weathers in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator outfit, but he's still got the mustache, and that's our main character.
And then the Russian is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is Stallone.
Stallone.
Or we'll get to the Russian guy in a second.
Yeah.
Let's worry about how
we're
going to subvert Russia.
We're working on Bill American
Russia.
Right now.
Yeah, we're working on Bill America. Let's say the organization that they're going to work for in the future is called Contra, right? So... who does Bill work for? Does Bill work for the CIA? Is he a Marine? Like, he feels like he's Special Forces, right? Like, he's like a Green Beret.
Yeah.
He's like an even more, he's like a dark green, like or a turquoise beret, like one above green. Like, what's one better than green? He's a magenta beret.
There's anybody who's in the military is why. Just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
What's one better than a Green Beret?
Yes, the classic is he's special ops for the CIA.
He's special operations for the CIA. Okay.
He's a one-man army.
And all right, so let's sketch out his character. So he loves his country, right?
Yes.
So, and he fights to protect it.
Hates communism, he's right?
He's a
the 80s.
Big gun man.
Hates communism.
Oh, God. This
big
is
gunman hates communism, loves America.
He hates communism. He loves America. He believes in freedom. Give me something. Does he have a pet dog? Like, he likes fishing, trout fishing.
Sure. Yeah. He likes the outdoors. He loves the America because of the outdoors.
A sportsman.
He's a sportsman.
Yeah, sportsman.
And that's what's and the natural beauty of America.
And he's lonely.
Yeah.
He's a lonely man.
He's again because I think like that's like we always like in again it's like the. Special Forces characters can be so boring because it's just like you could like the screenwriter clearly just has like such a this guy's so badass and like they forget to characterize him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, who is he just as a dude, right? Like if you had to describe this guy, okay, one of my favorite writing challenges. Tell me about Bill America without telling me what he does or what he looks like. Like what he does for a job or what he looks like, right? Like what are his high? Okay, so he loves the outdoors. He loves sports fishing.
Yeah,
and
mountain climbing and hiking and exploring vistas.
He reads philosophy.
He
likes to read old 18th century philosophy, the great thinkers, and then he takes his puts his fishing line out and then he reads Locke
audiobooks.
Yeah.
Probably a little befuddled, but well, yeah, audiobooks in the 80s.
Henry David Thoreau. So
well,
like
you
a bit of
find,
a thinking man.
Well,
yeah.
you often find, I mean, again, like, I think that's also one of the things that they do kind of tough, especially like Special Forces and stuff like that. It's like all these military guys, they're not like, again, they're not dumb jocks. Like a lot of these guys, I mean, they go one to academies, or often, again, they were like just
they're smart ass motherfuckers.
They're smart. Yeah, they believe in body and mind being perfect. It's not, sorry, big nerds like me. It's like they're buff and they're fucking smart and they read books and shit.
And they're
too.
More confident than you, and they're better at video games.
They're better at video games.
But they can never take away your board game collection or mini painting.
Yeah.
Just
so,
keep that in mind.
So yeah, again, like this is a, I feel like, and this guy, if you're going to do that, this guy has strong ideals. I would do like it comes from somewhere. Like he truly believes it. It's not just
okay.
Like brainwashed dude. So I like that. And when I think of fishing, I do think of somebody like people who enjoy fishing, they have to enjoy like being alone with your thoughts and
meditation
and stuff like
that.
So I feel like him being a bit of a philosopher. Again, I think if he loves America and freedom, he can probably talk about those beliefs in the founding fathers and common sense and he can read the stuff.
All right. So he's like an intellectual.
Yeah.
And a warrior.
Yeah, intellectual warrior.
And the intellectual warrior. Yeah. And he's
a warrior poet.
But give me like, what does his soul ache for? when he looks, what is his Luke staring out at the twin sons of Tatooine? Like, what is he like, huh, if only, do you know what I mean? Like, what is his, what drives him? Because that's going to be the thing we're going to want him to, again, that's where I'm like, is he looking for, he feels alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they do so well, and again, what people under,
I'm like, just telling you, this is about two lonely bros finding each other.
Well, that's what's really good they do in Gladiator. It's again, they go with, like, he just wants to go home and farm again, right? And, you know, the dirt cleans off. Easier than blood. Like, it's like a perfect, like, he doesn't want, he's the perfect guy to save the Republic because he doesn't want to be in power or do anything. He just wants to be home with his family.
Do you like he just wants to go fishing? Like, he just wants to go home and go fishing.
I was thinking, is it something like it's this guy who fights freedom, but he feels trapped himself, you know, like, because he's got this intellect and this power and this, and, you know, he feels duty bound because he is somebody who is, again, you get that, you kind of get that as you read more and more about these kind of, like, again, for, I'm reading a lot about the Founding Fathers and everything, but you do get a sense that these people often feel, like, Washington felt trapped. He's like, once I'm George Washington, like, I can't not take the presidency, and I can't not do my duty. And it's like, if this guy is, you know, somebody who is valuable and smart and brilliant and buff and all this shit,
he feels like he should be. Yeah, he wants, like, there's always fishing, more fighting
but,
to do.
But,
yeah,
but if he was selfish and just went fishing, would he stop other people from being able to fish?
I am picturing this moment at the midpoint of your movie where he and Keith Russian are in the middle of the alien jungle. You get that beautiful bro moment where he gets to go fishing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just the two of them enjoying
it. Survive.
Doing
it,
survive. But he also, like, and again, he finds it's like the tragedy is, like, for him, like, this, you know, super warrior or whatever. He's like, all the people that would understand him, he has to kill. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's always fighting them. But you do, like, there's this moment where it's the two guys bond, and it's like, again, like, they're fishing. It's like two guys cracking a beer and fishing or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And it's like in Hunt for Red October, when they talk about what's going to happen when they get to America. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. I like this. This is this guy who yearns for peace. Right? Yeah.
And if you're going to do – I would even say this. If you're going to do that – again, now that we have to get into the whole backstory, but just a little bit of psychology of it, it's like, I could see that, like, maybe even likes fishing because that was, like, his dad was a very – I could see his dad or both of his parents being very, you know, demanding, like, very strong people, but they even did. It's like the one thing his dad would do is, like, they would go fishing on the weekends, and that was, like, their one time of peace. Like, maybe his dad was a freaking, you know, 6 day a week, you know, workaholic, you know, brilliant guy. They both cared about his education. Like, again, he was a big achiever, but the thing he remembers most is just, like, that relaxing
fishing with dad on the weekend.
You can even do that, like, for all of his parents, like, demanding, like, they remember to fish on the weekends, and, like, this is, like, where he's lost. Like, he doesn't do that for himself.
Okay. And but I think you do. He also has a history of public service. You know, his dad was in the army. And
mom was a mayor.
His mom was a politician or something like that. And he comes from this family. And okay, I like all that. That's great. But now he doesn't have time for himself.
Yes.
I think, and that's what he wants. I think the other dude is a lunatic.
Well, he's a dirty Russian.
Okay. I think the other guy is, like, he's a thrill junkie. He lives for combat. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is his, you know, like, this is his fishing, is, like, getting in there and fucking, you know, like, and it's like he's trying to find through battle something. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like one man craves peace, the other craves war.
Bill has something that he thinks is worth fighting for. Lance has nothing, and he is hoping that the fight will give him something, right?
Yes.
It's like he doesn't have something. So he's the guy with, like, the rougher background. You know, he's looking for meaning and doing so in the combat, as opposed to Bill knows the meaning and combat is the necessary evil around it.
Yes, exactly.
But he's like orphan, like,
dude. I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like we're cooking up a dad film here.
Oh, I mean, it's going. I mean,
I feel like this is a movie for dads. I feel like we're cooking up a dad film.
It's Contra. This was 19. This dad's.
I guess
Contra.
All the people who played Contra are becoming dads.
Yeah,
and this movie's for them.
This is for dads.
Smells like dad spirit up in here, guys. Smells like grill.
So what I could think is maybe Lance is somebody who lost something. Like, again, if I feel like Bill America is, if you were to lose anything, is that he kind of lost himself in his ambition and his desire to do
we're
good.
Over, by the way, half an hour in. Okay. So under 25.
Like, again, I feel like Bill America, like, his parents are, if they died from natural causes, or they just died, you know, his dad got cancer, but it's not like they were ripped away from him or anything like that.
He's
a soldier. I feel like, again, maybe Lance is somebody who lost some, like, had a tragic past. Like, maybe, like, he did have a family, and maybe his kids got killed or from a drone strike from those dirty dirty Americans.
Mm-hmm. The 1980s drone
strike. 1980 drone
strike. From the dirty Americans. Okay. All right. I like that he had a rougher upbringing. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Like, what is that? Okay. So, all right. So this is a guy who, who lives for his job, right? Yeah. So he is, and again, he's like this, you know, very primal, like very intense. Yeah, I'm trying to get to like.
I could see that like him, he blames the U.S. for what happened, say to his family or something, and then it's part of the growth of them, the two of them, is him realizing it's like, oh, the other guy doesn't want that to happen either. You know what I mean? Like, and they're both pawns in the war, man. Pawns of the machine.
I like, so there was this, I'm trying to, it's tough to read while doing this. The guy, Mad Dog, I think I've told you this story before. It was like the last guy to do a confirmed kill with a bow and arrow in combat.
On the UK side.
Yeah, but the thing that's fascinating about, yeah, he was like this insane Scotsman during World War II. Just like a complete maniac. Like there's pictures of him checking to see if huge artillery guns have ammo by sticking his head down the barrels and mm-hmm. just like and he killed he ran on shore with a claymore, and again he has the last confirmed kill, and he literally that confirmed kill supposedly was like
Jack Churchill
was like, I'm gonna shoot that man with my bow and arrow, and then he got off the boat, and then the reporter's like, then he did shoot that man with his bow and arrow. So he's just crazy. But what I love is that he just became a surfer at the end of his life. It feels a little bit like this comedian type character where it's like he understands, like he's kind of past the bullshit
Scotsman, by the way. He was a British guy born in Hong Kong. If you're interested, you should read this Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's
like,
insane. But it is like, right, it's the guy who's like, he's kind of like, again, it's almost like he knows the secret that Bill doesn't know. He's like, this is all bull. Like, we could have any ideals we want, but it just comes down to you and me with a knife in this forest. Like, this is all fucking chaos. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of he's found a way to, like, compartmentalize better. It's like, in combat, it's combat, mm-hmm. and he's going to be, like, a peaceful man afterwards. I don't quite know, but there's something about that I could kind of get on board with.
He lives in the present. He lives in the moment.
Yeah.
He's this, okay, so it's like Bodhi in Point Break.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a Point Break guy.
He's kind of a Point Break. Okay, I feel like we've been stewing in these characters for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the plot of this thing is going to be very simple. Put it that way. So yeah. I want to drive at just like whether it's gay or not, it's a love story between these two men, and they're going to meet on the field of battle, and then it's like Enemy Mine. They get sucked to the future, and then they're going to have to go fight some crazy mission, right? And the only two people are going to be able to trust is each other.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like you maybe do this thing where like for Bill, I think he inherently trusts this intergalactic government more than Lance does, mm-hmm. right? And that Lance is probably a bit more paranoid, and you know, like, and then sure enough, they get fucked over by the gut, you know, like they get you know, like they're pawns of the thing or whatever, and it's they can only trust each other at the end, right?
No, I think I have a thing for Lance because you need the trout fishing. It's like, because again, I like. You make Lance, again, your sympathies, especially with an American audience, is going to be Bill America, this guy who's got these ideals.
It's
like he kills people also, but he kills them for freedom.
And
Lance is this maniac who, like, maims people and scalps them and whatever. He's a fucking crazy good dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one, when Bill comes here, he's like, we got to fight. We got to stop these Reds. Yes, I understand we're 600 years later, but
fighting the Reds, eh?
And Lance is like, sure. But it's like, the difference is, like, Bill left. Like, what did he leave behind? It's like, he was a soldier. And it's like, his parents were old. He's fine. It's like, Lance has a wife and kids. Like, Lance was thrown into this combat. Like, he's not a willing soldier. So, like, yeah, he's crazy now he's in combat. That's because he just wants to get fucking home. Like, when he's like, what did you leave behind? It's like, 600 years ago, it's like, my wife and my four kids are at home, and I'm never going to see them again. Like, that's the thing. I would do, like, this guy has a life, and he was thrown into this war, and it's like, he's going to fucking do everything he can to get back home. He's going to scalp and murder, and because he's accepting the present that he's in this war. But when he goes home, he's going to come back home. And, like, I could see, like, he's actually has something left behind that is kind of wearing on him in a way that Bill's not. In fact, you could almost, like, Bill could probably, like, jumps into the deep end pretty quickly here, where he's like, no, I can get behind this. Like, I'm in the future now, but, like, we're going to stop these aliens from taking planet Earth and whatnot. And Lance is like, great, another fucking war that's taking me away from what I wanted. Like, this is what, like, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yes.
Is that the longest yes I've ever heard?
It would just be what I get to. Is like, because
keep going.
Well, it's just
I'm
all about the fishing, because it's that fishing moment. And then he starts cooking. He's like, wow, you know, cooking. He's like, yeah, it's like, this is my kid's favorite meal. And he's like, your kids? Like, yeah, man, they're just living in St. Petersburg. Like, I just want to get home.
So was he, was he drafted? Did they have a draft? And was he dragooned into the army? Like,
even if he wasn't drafted, the fact, like, the patriotism of, like, volunteering, like, I mean, even if you weren't drafted during freaking World War II in Britain, like, they had girls come around with coward, you know, bandanas saying you're a coward if you didn't draft. Like, well, there's a big enough war, you're going to flowers. You're going to go to war.
But I mean, it's the Cold War. Like, we weren't at war with Russia. That's the only thing that's tripping me up.
Yeah.
Like, this, what do you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
how'd he get into that pickle in the first place?
Yeah. That's the only thing that bumps me there. Like, again, like, I like the idea of, again, like, when you were talking about, like, that guy became a surfer, I find that interesting. Like, maybe you do, I don't know. I like that they're on different sort of
ideas. But what if it was like the Banana Republic idea again, like lose the Russian side of it and he's just defending his homeland, you know, and that's how they meet up in the first place. But he still had the, you know, family and stuff like that because it's his home.
I do that at least puts, I see the mm-hmm. kind of difference of the spectrum there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that he was...
He's a good soldier, but like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who get pulled into these conflicts, you know, it's like a lot of them, it's like they made, you know, right? Like you look at, you know, Vietnam War, you look at some of these other wars where it's like, the citizens went off and they fought to defend their homeland, and even the American Revolutionary War. Then they went back to their homes, you know, and then they went back to living, you know?
Okay.
We are
18 minutes
Holy
left.
Holy shit. Okay. All right.
Waxing poetic on people.
All right. Let's get into the guns.
Will.
What about them guns? Okay.
In the future, there's special guns with attachments that can shoot, like, spread shots and stuff.
Here's why. Because this is all I was getting to. Because, like, yes, he could become a surfer. All I was getting really basically was, like, if we're just going to hit on a wand, it's like Bill wants to do the right thing. He's always believed in the right thing.
This guy wants to get home.
Because then you can at least give them something where, like, they find a time portal in this, the choice between going back in time or doing the right thing.
Yes.
And Lance wants to go back in time because he has his family. And Bill's like, I understand that. I have a family too, but mm-hmm. we got to do, like, how about all these families in the future or whatever it is.
It's just a global warming parable. It's like, this isn't going to affect us for another 600 years. Our kids won't even do it. It's like, yeah. But it's about more than that. It's about humanity, man.
It's about your kids.
Your kids. Okay. I was like, the only thing else, I'm like, I just don't know about this wild dude having like a family. Could you make it like he has a whole bunch of dogs on a farm and like the dogs are going to die? I don't know.
I mean, do you think somebody with like a good family going to war can't suddenly just like embrace? I mean, you hear that. Like, there's plenty of guys that's like, they're in war and they're fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like, you hear about like, some of these. Yeah. Yeah.
Because exactly. They learn to separate themselves. They're like, I'm going to die if I sit here thinking about it. It's like, let me put it this way. Because I've told you this story before. He's the Spartan who breaks. When the Spartans, before they went to war, they literally wrote down like their life beforehand and then put it in a bucket and then walked and they left everything. That's mm-hmm. that's what this guy did. He's like, I'm going to do everything I can to come home to you. And then he turned around. He's like, I will fucking be a mom. Like, he's like, I'm like, that's it.
I'm
leaving myself behind so I come back home. So this is why he's so crazy.
All right. And he's like, yeah, okay, sure. I don't have a better idea, and that we have 10 minutes, so let's go. Okay.
15 minutes all right. remaining.
Okay, all right. So the two of them are fighting in a Doppelcuba, and are like they're again like I like the idea that this is a Banana Republic, and the U.S. and Russia are both backing different sides, right? Yeah. So almost like a Vietnam situation, and these two guys square off in the jungle to fight each other, and they're in the middle of grappling for life and death, right? Yeah. And you know he's fighting because they've told, you know, like again, like the little bits of characterization you get are that Bill really believes that this is the, you know, like we got to contain communism at all costs, right? And this other guy is like, you just do this one more kill for us and you can go back home, man. Like this is your last. The chopper's leaving. Just go kill that American, right? Yeah. And so then he runs into. You see him burn the photo of his family and charge into the woods. You see the other guy, like, you know, like, we gotta, like, you know, like, Uncle Sam all the way, and then they go meet, and they're about to fucking hack each other to bits, and then shoop, they get sucked to the future, right?
It's, you know, they got the knives in each other's hands, like, you know, like kind of against each other, and they're holding the other one back, and then they tumble over a waterfall.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're falling off a cliff, they're both about to die, and right before they hit the ground, they transport.
Okay, so now they're both in the year 2633, right? And they have their handler. Like, again, like, there's got to be someone who's, like, their point man in the future. Or point lady. Point person.
Let's do point lady.
Point lady. And so she's like, welcome to the future, idiots.
Like, where the hell are we? Take us back. And then, like, it's like, is this America? Did America win the future? Like, what's America? Essentially.
Okay. So, and then they find out they're both shackled immediately because they're still trying to kill each other. And you do, they get the mission briefing from the galactic president, right? Who's like, hey, boyos, like, fucking galactic lady president, Hillary Rodham Quisborg.
That's canon now, just so you can live with that.
Hillary Rodham Quisborg. She's got 7 eyes and 8 pantsuits. She shoots lasers from her mouth, and she says, I need a couple of fucking 80s idiots to blow up Planet Alien.
Here's what's incredible about that is her acronym is HQ.
HQ.
Hillary Quisborg. So again, so actually just really quick so I can kind of get into it.
Earth is under attack.
You start with this teaser. The teaser is this elite future team going onto this you know, you're seeing this like SWAT, you're cutting between HQ and these guys on this planet.
That's cool.
And
yeah,
like, we gotta stop these aliens. It's like
what do you do? The Earth's been taken over by aliens.
Well, that
and then they're like she's like the underground president. Like there's like there's the human resistance that she's the leader of. I guess she's the galactic president. I don't get how it works.
You're just barely because
keep going. I don't want to bust
up. Yeah. It is this, at least it seems like the first game is like this island is just by this, it's this crazy group. They're like, something's going on there. And these guys, they have the binoculars and they're like, holy shit, look at this. It's aliens and there's this big missile and they're like, that thing's going to destroy Earth, right? It's like, you essentially set up the Death Star is what you see. Is like, based on what it looks like in Contra, they just discovered this. And then the guys are like, okay, go in. And they're like, okay, and they start choking and they die. And they're like, what the fuck is that? And then you have the quick montage of them understanding what it is, like, we only have one option, so we need to get these two people or whatever. That's your teaser, and it goes Contra, you know, 20s, and it goes 600 years earlier or whatever, some cool thing, and you cut to 1980s Cuba or whatever it is, and now you introduce our two characters.
Yeah.
So this little teaser, so the first act is these two guys are trying to kill each other, they get transported to the future and they're told what's up.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. It's okay, I know I'm being pedantic.
Yeah.
So it's the future and she's the galactic president.
Yes,
but it's a base on Earth.
Yes.
The aliens have like landed and like have taken over a piece on Earth, and then none of the governments can hit it.
What about okay. The aliens fucking installed this thing on Earth, right?
Yeah.
And it's pumping out this toxin that is slowly killing everybody on the planet. That's why they've all hidden underground.
Yeah.
And so they need people from the past to go blow it up because they can't fucking get in there to shut it down. What about that?
Yeah.
All right, so what is your end of Act 2? Because essentially it seems like Act 2 is like, welcome to the future.
Wasn't Act 1. Act 1 is Bill and Lance go to the future.
Yes, end of Act 1 is they get sucked into the time portal and they wake up in the future.
Yeah.
And then Act 2, it seems like they meet Hillary Clinton. She's like...
Quisborg.
Hillary Quisborg, the genetic profile hybrid of the two greatest political figures.
Hillary Clinton.
Quisborg Starblog and Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Quisborg Starblog was really
Hillary Clinton tells them they have to blow up this base, right? And then what is the thing? Is she like, we'll send you back to your time? That has to be the offer, right?
Yeah, that's the offer. You do this, and we'll send you back with untold future riches. We'll send you back in time with an almanac of who wins the Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the but the challenge is like, and they're like, and then Bill's like, I'm a free man. How dare you take me from my family? Send me back. And Lance's like, yeah, sure, fuck it, whatever. Let's do it.
No, Lance is the one who wants to get back home.
Yeah.
Right? True. So first of all, both of them are like, fuck you, right? Because he finds out that it's future Russia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, future
like,
Russia
it's
wins.
It's future, or like he looks into the mirror, he's like, my God, America got wiped out in the war and like all this other stuff, right? He's like, I don't know, or whatever you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill finds his reason to fight, which is that like this is the right thing to do essentially, right? And I feel like you want to ground it with something a little bit more personal than that. But and then for Lance, it's got to be we'll send you back home, right?
Yeah,
like you'll get to go back to the past and live out your life. You guys were both about to die, right? You're getting a new the trait is you get a new chance at life when you get back to Earth, right?
Yeah.
Bear
with me. This is a tragic thing you do for Lance because you could do. They can't change the future, right? Like they can't change the rest of what's going to happen. In fact, can they even go back? Because the point is that they're about to die. Because what I was going to say is what you could do. One, they could be like, that's what they're told, and they realize this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's
a lie to them, right? What I was also going to say is that you do. I was just thinking of this moment where, like, Lance does look up whatever old Wikipedia and looks at what happened. And it's like, when he was fighting, like, his family was, like, 5 minutes away from getting hit by a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And all he wants to do is go back and be with them for those last 5 minutes, too. So you do when he goes back in, like literally while they're fighting on the cliff, like he looks up Wikipedia and it's like, what happened to my family was in St. Petersburg or whatever, what happened there? It's like, there was a riot and...
His family's from Chernobyl, dog.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And he's gonna go, I just like the idea that he's got...
Damn.
He wants to, like, all... Because Bill's like, this guy's a maniac. And Lance's like, all I want to do is go back home and spend the last...
Sunny
Chernobyl and spend 5 minutes with my family before they get wiped out by a nuclear bomb. And I will too. And he's like, damn,
what?
Dude. Like,
okay, what? I'm just also like, what version of U.S. history did you grow up reading, Matt?
This is yeah, all this old history.
When, yeah, that when Russia got fucking...
I guess Russia never did get hit.
No.
Yeah. Oh, Matt, we wouldn't be here if that happened.
Not by a bomb. I was just thinking like some random event.
Okay.
Like Chernobyl.
Okay, okay, okay.
Okay, but there's some disaster. He wants to go home and die with his family?
No, ignore that. Okay, so Act 2, it's like they want to... So can they send... They say we're going to send you back, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's what they would tell them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they agree to work together. And she's like, we need both of you.
Yeah.
Because the gameplay requires two players. or whatever. You two are two heroes. So Act 3 is the landing on the island and fighting.
Yes.
Essentially. More
okay.
Or
then what? Okay. We have shit. Okay.
7 minutes.
Seven minutes for the secret history of this island, right? Because it's got to be some mystery here.
Yeah. So I feel like Act 3 would be, right? The end of Act 3 would essentially be, this is what I was going to say, if you didn't know there were aliens, again, which is how the game does it, it's just like, it seems like there's a crazy military group that's taking over this island, and they don't know why they can't get there. And they don't know why their people are dying, but there seems to be some disease that's on this island. And like, how can these people not die? And they bring them in because they know that something's going on. And then Act 3 would be like, surprise, they call back HQ, they're like, they're aliens.
Right.
Which isn't a huge turn.
I like that. I'm trying to
find their aliens.
But I'm also going to say, like, the first thing that struck me would be they go to this island and they meet a fucking, again, like, you get a female character in there. They meet another warrior from the past who has been here for fucking 20 years, who's like, everything they told you is a lie. Like, they're sending us here for some other purpose or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. I
don't know. Oh, shit.
No. So
we spent too long talking about how much he likes fishing.
No. So look. This is some similarity to our Samus movie, but really quick. So, they go to the future. That's the end of Act 1. Mm-hmm. Act 2 is like their exposition of what the future is, and then this is the plan. You guys have to go do it. Are you going to do it or not? Mm-hmm. And if you do it, we'll send you back in time, but we're not going to lie. It's like a 95% chance that you're going to die. And Lance is like, I fucking live with tough chances, whatever, I'll fucking do it as long as I go back home. And Bill's like, I guess it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
This future country,
like he sees that there's people, like, and people,
so they both have their reasons and they're gonna go do it. Act 3 is the land on the island, and yes, we need to figure out what happens there, but in terms of it is the fighting of the aliens and the bad guys to get to the tower, whatever it is they're approaching, the big base that they gotta get to.
Yes.
You need some turn in Act 3, and it feels like if it was going to be, they realize they're lied to, that they're not gonna go back home. The only problem I have with that is, like, they're already, like, taking a chance at that they might die anyways, but I mean, I guess they'd still be pretty pissed if it's like...
It's a little basic. It's a little like, man, then we're not gonna give you that thing. Like, you would have to be... Oh my God! It's okay. It's to complete the mission.
Yeah.
They will have to do something that eliminates their chances of going back home.
Yes.
Right.
Something like that, maybe. All right. How are we doing on time, Fredo?
5 minutes remaining.
Okay. All right. I need to go to my mind palace for a second here. All right. Let's work backwards for a second.
Yeah.
How does this movie end?
So that's why I was saying, like, if you could
they get stuck in the future.
Can I throw something at you? The end of this movie, because to me, again, it's like, I'm like, what is the bromance arc, right? And you do, the end of this movie is they get sent back to the past, and they're right back to where they were falling off that fucking waterfall, right? Because they can't change the past. That's what they realize. They can't change the past, and that means they have to die.
Yeah.
And so the end is that first they were literally knife to knife, and now the end is they're just looking into each other's eyes and holding each other.
They just hug, like, each other.
You are the only person. I can't go back to my family. You are the only person I have in my last moment. And he's like, you know, like the, I am like, this is how, the, and then he lets go. He lets go of his hatred of communism and of, like, you know, like his mission for one second. He's like, fuck my mission. I'm going to have peace in my final moments. And then it ends with the two of them falling and just holding each other and, like, looking into each other's eyes. Because then what you do is Contra 2 picks up 5 seconds later and they get sucked in.
Yes. So they decide to kill each other. They decide to die.
They decide to, well, they get sent back to the past.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So yes, they find out that they can't. They tell them, like, we'll send you back to the past, but they don't explain that, like, you guys,
like,
both
temporally, not spatially different.
Yeah. You could also do something where they're like, we can't tell you, and the less you know about the future, the better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because we're going to send you back to the past, and we don't want you to change the course of history or something like that. And then they find out that, like, they're going to, I don't know, like, you can't change, I don't know.
Well, because they're essentially getting a second chance anyways, because it's like, you guys were going to die. You might even just do that, whatever they do to win, beat the day. Like, again, if they got back to the teleporter, they could, or, like, they could just live here or whatever, but it's like, whatever when they detonate the bomb, or they detonate the thing, it's like, it's going to create a time vortex that sends them back to where they were.
Yeah.
It's going to undo themselves, right? Is essentially what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
So they make that decision. So like the final moment is, yes, it's like these aliens are charging at them and they have like the nuclear device like on the island and they look at each other and they hold each other and they press the bomb. And right when the nuclear blast goes off, it just cuts to them falling.
Yeah.
And they look at each other and they just hold each other tight. And right before
he lets go of he lets go of his knife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then right before they hit the ground, end credits.
Yeah.
And it's like they saved the day and they're, you know, they've accepted their deaths. Mm-hmm. And their friends.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
Two minutes.
What do the aliens want? Who are the aliens? That's the only thing that's missing
from
this.
They want to take over all of Earth's natural resources and all the fishing holes.
No, but it's like, okay, so why are we not, so they are... Again, it's like a base on Earth? Like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, they're just taking over? Is there some time jiggery, kajuki baluki thing that they're doing that is like, you're like, oh shit, this is the deeper thing? All right, Hillary Clinton wants to blow up this planet, right? Like, she wants to blow up these aliens. She's like, these aliens have invaded Earth.
Yes.
And they are poisoning our air, and they're, you know, because they're making the planet more they're wiping out the species with this genetic virus. And we found out that back in the 80s, it's like a reverse Terminator, right?
Right.
So then they go, they find that, you know, like all the soldiers have been corrupted by crazy alien shit. They're fighting their way through. They find, I like the idea that you realize that like they've been sending other future people to do this. And then like, you could even do someone on the island found out, like, you know, like if there is no way back.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because this facility was like a time travel facility that where they
island,
were working
yeah.
on. You know what I mean? It's like, it was actually Hillary Clinton's base was this thing. And like she opened a portal to the future and these fucking aliens came into it or whatever.
Sure.
Like there's just something like, oh fuck, we're just cleaning up your mess essentially.
Right.
I went from like being like we turned empowering lady Hillary Clinton into evil Hillary Clinton. I didn't want to do that.
It could be simple. Again, just a really quick, like the Red Falcon, it's just, there's an alien that's underground and this guerrilla organization that was like taking over this tropical island uncovered this dangerous creature that finally breaks free and then is like, no, I will make you all powerful, but I'm gonna consume the Earth. So it's the classic, like, again, it's the bad guy finding like the Ark of the Covenant is what it is. But the Ark of the Covenant is
all right,
an
let's keep it
case.
Simple. And the secret is you can't go back,
yeah,
or you can't change the past,
yeah.
That's the secret, right?
Yeah.
And they that's what they find out on the island,
yes.
right? And then they're like, well, shit, what are we gonna do?
Here's what you'd have, and I know we don't have the time, but the really quick, like the low point would be that it would be Bill.
Well, but then they do go back, and they do they can go back, but it means they're gonna die.
Yeah. But I could see that Bill. Okay. I could see at some point both Bill. This is what you need. I know we don't.
And then we're back to good Hillary Clinton, who's just like, yeah, but even if I told you that, you would have gone on that mission anyway. When you, Bill America, he's like, you're goddamn right.
What it would be is that they both have a chance to affect their past, like. They have, like, at some point, the low point would have to be like, oh, I could send this weapon back to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, like, you know, and it's like they have, you need, and then they, of course, they're going to put aside their differences and be like, no, whatever happened back then, like, Russia and America should have been friends in the first place. We're going to be friends. Let's not worry about the past. We're going to worry about the future right now and whatever it is.
Wait, so they can change the past?
I don't know. I was just trying to think, right now, we just have, they fight a bunch until they decide this thing. So I was trying to think, like, what is the act four moment where they both have a crisis of morality. Like, do I keep doing this or do I send a nuclear weapon back to America
in 1980
sort
okay
of thing?
Okay,
they
I
catch
think
each other doing that
I
you
think
know?
You do that the thing, it's like Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing at the center of this island, like, has the ability to change the past.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
The aliens are like time hopping things, and that's the key.
And
to
Hillary
success.
Clinton sent them in to destroy it because she's like, it's too powerful,
right.
like for anyone to use. Like, it would undo. We have to live with our past mistakes. We have to live with we have to fight for the future, right? But then for these two men, he's like, I could win the war for America,
right,
you know,
right,
and then
right.
I could finally be done.
Yeah.
I could finally be a man of peace, like, you know, like I could. And then for Lance, it's like I could
save my family or go back there or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the devil, basically. It's like this alien, right, is like living, like it has taken over this thing. It has this army that worships it. It's like
an
apocalypse now type thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we're out of time, though.
Okay, then they turn on each other, and then, okay, all right.
It's pretty close.
This drives me nuts.
Do you want to go into extra innings?
I mean,
let's do 10 minutes of extra innings. Let's
just do a little bit longer here because I feel like we're right on the edge of it. I think it's worth it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So act one, they're fighting. They get sucked to the future. Act two, Hillary Clinton's like, you guys got to go blow up this base on this island, right?
Right.
Like that is pumping shit into the air that is wiping everybody out. Okay, so there's this big ugly alien that like infests an island on Earth.
Yes.
It starts belching out noxious fumes into the environment that are custom tuned to the genetic makeup
of the dominant species
and wipes them out, and then like it takes over the planet.
Yes.
So that's what's going on. There's a big ugly alien that has infested this planet, and then it has little baby aliens that protect it.
Yes. Right.
And then like it you know, like if you get too close to it and it, you know, maybe it even turns you. Maybe it's not even that it like it kills humans, but it takes the spores infect your mind and it turns you into a slave. And that way you can have them shooting and being shot at and stuff like that.
It infects them with ideology like communism or patriotism.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
So, okay. All right. If we're doing that, then they go on the island. They are fighting against these corrupted soldiers. They're working through the jungle. They got to work together to survive.
Right.
I do like the idea that they run into other people like them. That have been fed this same lie, right?
Different time periods. Even.
How do we do this? That they discover that they're not going to go home, or that they can't be sent back.
I mean, it would have to be either somebody again that you would do, in Contra. They have the Red Falcon, which is, and these people. It's like again, it's as if this alien landed on. Again, I think North Korea is a good analogy. It's like they landed on North Korea, and this alien's intelligent and can speak to humans, and it's like, look, I'm going to take over this Earth. You can either join me or not. And North Korea is helping, you know, is playing the political game. And little do we know is that all this is happening because, you know, Kim Jong-il is going to be the right hand. It's Worm Tongue. He's going to be the right hand man. Like you either team up with the alien or you don't. So you are either going to learn. They're either going to learn by the war chief of this island. Or the alien itself, or somebody else who's already figured out the secret, are going to be your options when they're on this island. And I think you would, again, you kind of present, I feel like you would do, they meet the bad guy, and he's like, again, it's the choice of like, what, like, who are you guys even fighting for? Your soldiers from the past. Like, why are you fighting for this army as opposed to this army? Like, this, like, I don't know. Like, and besides, they've lied to you. Like, you're not going to go back anyways.
Oh.
I can give you a future here, you know? The alien offers to bring less.
The alien would have to, you would have to do, that's what it is. They meet the alien. Yeah. They fight their way through, right? And then the alien's like, oh, Hillary Clinton has sent me this gift. Two warriors, right? Yeah. That are, you know, like two warriors from the past, right?
Yeah.
Like the, and then again, like the alien has, again, I like that there's this sort of like a Colonel
Kurtz-esque
general that is like her number two that speaks through her.
Yeah.
Or that she speaks through, right? That she's taken over.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't go back. Like they lied to you, right?
Yeah.
Like the, and this is someone else from the past that submitted to her rule.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like again, the dark mirror of them. Like
I fight
for her now.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like, and she offers me immortal life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and their power unlimited,
their mission shouldn't initially just be, they don't know it's aliens. They think it's humans. Like, you have to kill this rogue general or something.
The general is Bill America's boss from the opening of the movie.
Oh, he got sent to the future.
He got sent to the future too. And then you do like, and that's the mystery that they're recognizing as they're fighting people on the island. He's like, these tactics, I've seen them before. Like,
that's
like, holy shit. Like, who is this? Like, who is, there's someone, there's something's very, this isn't just aliens.
Yeah.
Like, these guys know, you know, like, this is like only U.S. Green Berets move like that or whatever, right? And then he finds out that, again, it's like a Colonel Kurtz. Oh shit, it's his commander who got sent like 20 years ago, got sent to the future. Because like in the same, you know, the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
And he made this Faustian bargain with the alien. He wasn't strong enough. She was about to kill him. He's like, you're the most cunning general of your day. Like, protect my island while I do this.
Yeah.
I'll offer you, you know, like, and this was that guy who's always like, I just need a war to fight. Like, he's that guy, the maniac who lives for war.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Bill is forced to confront his general or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, there is the past is a lie. Like, there is no, like, what do you do? Right.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. So that's a cool, nice kind of turning moment.
I was gonna say the offer I could get. It, for Lance, which again, I think you need that moment where they're against each other.
Yeah.
Is again, whatever those time travel rules are, it's like, look, we're not going to bring you back. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you go back to the moment you're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do is I can bring your family here. So it's literally.
Oh.
So it's like, is he going to bring his family to this hellscape? You know, it's like, you will live in the court of alien land or whatever, but your family will be here. And that's
I can give you like you can live on a farm with them. Like, or something like that. Yeah. Well, I'll bring them here and you can be together.
Well, it's like Solaris, right? Like, it's like you get this nice little section.
Yeah. Cause he's like, I'll bring them here. And they're immune just like you are.
you'll have a place on this new earth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's essentially what, that's what the general, that's the deal the general made, because the general's immune just like they are. And he's like, we can live as kings on this planet, don't you see? Like the, like, and it's like, she always has more words for him to fight. Like, you can be with your family again. Like, and like, and he's like, Bill, you were my best soldier. You can be my right hand man. We can fucking conquer the galaxy, bro. Like, we can fucking go from here to here to here.
And Lance is going to do it, but Lance learns the lesson from Bill, because Bill may not have a family, but he fights for a world that's worth having a family in. And Lance is just worried about having his family. And he's like, are you really going to bring your family into a world that's not worth having a family in?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, that's crazy. He's like, you can't bring them here. You're going to bring them to a landscape where you've, where your, their father's murdered everybody on the planet for a little piece of his own happiness. Like, what's the point of living in this world anyways? Yeah. And Lance is like, you don't understand. You don't have a family. And he ties them up, and they both have their like macho like nighttime where they're thinking about each other like, maybe he's right. Maybe I'm right. Mm-hmm. But either way, I've already made my decision because I'm a man. But then the next day, it's like he thinks the executioner's coming, and he hears the keys jingling, and who turns the corner? It's Lance, and he opens the door. He's like, let's rock and roll, motherfucker. He takes down these aliens. It's like,
well, you do. Oh, because essentially, no, here's the classic thing. Yeah. Here's the classic thing. Bill thinks Lance has sold him out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because Bill's like, fuck you, I'm not, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you know, but like being like, for Bill, it's like he can't, you know, he's not going to bring, he can't bring himself to kill his this general, this man he fought with. He's not going to shoot a fellow American. He's like, you know, it's like, or whatever. But you do so. Bill goes to jail, but he thinks Lance has snitched on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even again, maybe in his heart of hearts, Lance does betray him for a moment, but then they bring him somewhere, right? Like, where, like, you know, they're going to bring his family to him, right? And then Bill instead, then Lance instead has an ace up his sleeve and kills a bunch of dudes and goes to rescue Bill.
By the way, then, how much better of a Predator high five is that when he's like, I had to betray you, I'm sorry, and then they high five. It's like, yes.
But no, this is, oh, this is a move I have wanted to. So anyway, then they go, so act five, rock and roll, they go confront the thing. They've got to, like, you know, like the Bill has a showdown with his former best friend, the general, and he's like, what about America? Like, dude, he's like, we can bring America back, or I don't know, whatever his fucking thing is. And he's like, you know, like the, like, he's like, you know, like, we got to fight for the ideals that America represents. Like, you forgot
we can make America great again. It's like, it was like, always
he
great.
He rips the America patch off his thing. Like, this is just a symbol. Like, America's in here. He thumps his heart. So, and then they blow up the thing. They're escaping the base. Like the aura.
I think once they blow it up, it's like the final, you get to that thing where they hit the detonator. Like the final action they do, they
the
transform.
Gizmo that was going to suck his family into the future is the bomb that is going to blow up the base, but it also causes a quantum pulse that sends them back to wherever. It's back to the moment that they left.
And then they fall in, they drop their knives, they look at each other, and as they're falling they in midair, they Predator high five. They Predator high five in midair.
Now, I was going to say, to me, the Predator high five is they rig the
the explosion itself. Yes.
They rig the machine up. They rig the portal, like the time machine gizmo, up with detonators.
Yeah.
Up with C4. And it's controlled by two detonators. And then the way they travel back in time is that they Predator high five each other with the detonators.
Yes.
And the buttons on the detonators hit each other. So they high five so hard it causes an explosion.
Yes.
So,
and they die in each other's arms, or do they?
Or
because
do they?
You pull a crank two, and Contra two is they. An inch away from the ground, they get pulled back in the future again because they need their help again. Mm-hmm. All right, that's cool.
There we go. I think that's a broken story, boyos. We're going to take a quick break while we sort of wash off all that masculinity from our hair. And when we come back, stay tuned, because we're going to go into the elevator pitch.
Hey, Biz, have you seen any good movies lately?
Hey, Teresa, does Curious George's Boo Fest count?
It doesn't.
Well, I blame my current life situation that has small children that need things. God, I love them, and I miss knowing about stuff.
Well, after catching up on the current cultural offerings on podcasts that provide such information, join us on One Bad Mother as we help explore the harsh realities of sweeping self-identity changes as we try to find ourselves between our pre- and post-kid selves.
I used to like all the things. Download One Bad Mother on MaximumFun.org or Apple Podcasts. And yes, there will be swears.
Welcome back to Story Break, and now the elevator pitch, the section where one of us, randomly chosen by a Google random number generator, must pitch what we just came up with in 60 seconds to, in this case, I guess, Johnny Konami, the owner of Konami Corporation and rights holder for Contra. We spun the wheel, the virtual wheel, before the break, and Matt is up to get into the elevator with...
Johnny Konami.
With Johnny Konami. Freddie, not to just be like, you know, like I don't want to get lit up by the Asian American community by whitewashing the role of Johnny Konami. So I'm gonna step aside and let you play Johnny Konami this episode.
Johnny Konami?
Yes,
I'm a big fan.
Me.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Matt Hi. Arnold. I'm one of the founders of Rocket Jump.
Oh, hey, you're okay.
I've been watching your stuff. Yeah, right. You know who I am.
Oh yeah, world famous Matt
yeah,
Arnold.
Matt Arnold from Rocket Jump. Work. Right. Yeah. Thank you. I know, just like you, you're tired of superhero shit. You know what we love? Freaking 1980s action movies.
Love
and Contra is the end all be all video game version of 1980s action movies. So here we go. We cut in on freaking.
What are we doing?
What?
Here we go. What?
This is Contra the movie.
Oh.
I know you guys have been looking for a hot take on this.
We so just announced this. An adaptation of that back in October, but we'll do another one. Here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, bullshit. 2,633. Who the hell cares about that? You know what people care about? 1980s. Macho 1980s men. Get this. The all-American boy. The lover of freedom. Ideology. And who do you have? The crazy Russian. Or is he as crazy as you think he is? 2,633. The world is going to be taken over by aliens, and the only people that can survive are men from the 1980s who are immune to an alien disease. So they're transported from the past into the future, and these two bros, these two enemies of the two world's greatest superpowers, have to fight the new world superpower, Red Falcon, the aliens.
I think that was a pretty good pitch.
There you go. Just tried. I think of more energy than it was technique.
That was garbage. So. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. But let's. We got some. First of all, welcome all Max Fun listeners. We've been loving reading the tweets and hearing about all of you folks sounding off on our Twitter, which is at RJ Story Break. We didn't get to it this time, but we have basically an open casting call for people's names, because obviously when we're pitching, we need to come up with people's names, and we don't have the time to come. And if we do come up with names, we come up with one such as, what was it, Hillary Quidquam?
Hillary Rodham Quisborg.
Quisborg, yeah.
Right. I forgot that part in the pitch.
So. We are not good at coming up with names. So if you want to submit your names to be used at any point, could be a villain, could be a hero, could be a random alien side character, hit them up at RJ Story Break. Tweet them at us, and I add them to a big Google Doc, and we draw upon them. We didn't do it this time, but we do it a lot of times when we're not talking about, you know, established video game properties with names that are amalgamations of famous 80s movie actors. You guys have some reviews there?
I have two pieces of fan art I want to shout out real quick. We got a fantastic piece of fan art for the ARMS episode, which is weird for me to be like, oh, we got this great ARMS fan art, which is like for actually a Nintendo thing, but someone did an awesome illustration from our ARMS adaptation. So shout out to Leo at Gaucheboy, G-O-U-A-C-H-E. Sorry if I mangled that underscore boy on Twitter, who did just a really fantastic piece of art. We'll retweet that.
It made my life.
It's so cute.
Her character is on like a bus, like just she looks sad and thinking about the future, and she's got a robot buddy, and then her weird goofy alien behind her in the back seat. It's great.
And then Mother of God, did we forget to shout out to
Albino
Penguin last week with the fucking coolest piece of one of the coolest pieces of fan art we've gotten yet. Albino Penguin did a trailer for the Blade Runner Chuck E. Cheese hybrid called Pizza Runner, which was basically the greatest thing I've ever seen. So mad thanks to Albino Penguin for
that. We're
going to
post this on our Twitter and also on our website, rocketjump.com. So there you go, folks. A serious episode about men. And
about Hillary Rodham Quisborg.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we are who we are. You got what you signed up for. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Are you awesome? Of course you are. You're listening to this show right now. But do you want to do something awesome? Then join us in beautiful Lake Arrowhead, California in June for a weekend full of inspiration, comedy, and friendship. Tickets for MaxFunCon 2018 are on sale right now. Visit MaxFunCon.com now to save your spot, because they will sell out.